Lord, what God's got for us from His table tonight. I've been praying, just trying to seek the Lord each night of the meeting, what God would have me to do, and I believe that I have the mind of the Lord tonight. I guess if I don't, we'll know in just a little while. Exodus chapter number 34, if you would. Turn there with me tonight. Exodus chapter number 34. And I want to read one verse in Exodus 34 tonight. And then I want you to stay there in your Bible, but just go over a chapter, and we're going to go over to chapter number 35. Exodus chapter number 34, if you would, please. And again, I want to read, I'll tell you what, let's go to 2 Chronicles 34, simply because that's the book I'm preaching out of. Amen. And I just turned to the wrong one. All right. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 1. How about that? To your right, just a little ways. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 1. The Bible says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. Go over to chapter 35, if you would, and verse number 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against thy house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." His servants therefore took him out of the chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one, thank you, sweetie, was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Let's bow together and pray. Our Father, thank you so much already tonight for the wonderful singing. Thank you tonight for the good time of fellowship. Lord, I certainly, God, thank you for Crossroads Baptist Church, Pastor Dixon, all those that work here, all of those that labor here. Lord, I thank you for them. Lord, I thank you tonight for new friends we've met and others tonight that we'll get to know throughout the week. Lord, I just pray tonight that you would help and that you would give us what we need from heaven. Lord, I believe this morning while I was spending my personal time with you that God, you dealt or spoke to my heart about this very thought. Lord, this afternoon, I still feel like this is what you'd have me to preach. Now, God, I pray, if it is what you would want us to preach tonight, please, Lord, help me, God. I do not want tonight to stand alone. Lord, I pray tonight you would clothe me in my calling. Lord, I pray tonight you would help me tonight and give me what I need tonight from the Word of God. And help me, Lord, to help those that are listening this evening. Lord, save that sinner nearest hell, I pray. Lord, I pray touch tonight this church. Help it to be greater and do more for Christ in the days ahead. We ask it all in Christ's name, and all God's people said, you can be seated tonight. For just a few moments tonight from the Word of God, I want to preach, I guess you could say, one of the pastoral messages that God's given me in some of these last years. For 34 years of my life, I've had the privilege of pastoring a Baptist church. I'm very thankful tonight that God has allowed me to come across some of the greatest people that you could ever in all of your life meet. I want to say this tonight. I know the church is not perfect. It's not made up of perfect people. There's not perfect pastors. There are not perfect missionaries. There are not perfect leadership. No doubt tonight we realize that the church is made up of imperfect people. But no doubt tonight we serve a perfect God. And no doubt tonight this God that we have is very able to speak to our hearts, even in a church tonight like this or mine or any other. I'm glad God comes to meet with us. Now, when you study the life of Josiah, you'll find out that Josiah, of all the kings, if you ever read through 1 and 2 Chronicles, there'll be a whole lot of kings you'll meet that didn't do a very good job. Matter of fact, there's very few of them you find that you'll ever find that were said that they did right in the sight of the Lord. There are many of them did not do right. There are many of them that went away from God. But this young man, when he started, by the name of Josiah, and he was very young when he began to reign, and he was a king, and he did a wonderful job for the most part of all of his reign. But I want you to understand tonight that Josiah, in chapter 35, made a terrible mistake. And I want to preach about that mistake tonight. And I believe that it is very applicable to every person's life in this building. After many years of dealing with people in churches, I have learned that many times that people in churches are dealing with things that they do not have to deal with, or that literally they do not have to care or concern themselves about. And so tonight, I want us to go to chapter 35. And in chapter number 35, you have where there is Necho, king of Egypt, and he's headed to a battle against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah, who was not a part of this, came out to meet him. Now understand that, and this is Pharaoh Necho, if you study that, but understand that he was going to a battle that had nothing to do with Josiah at all. He was just passing through a land. He even said to Josiah that my battle's not with you. He even said to Josiah that I have nothing to do with you. This battle that you and I, or that I'm going to, is not about us. But for some reason, Josiah couldn't let that go. He could not stay out of it. And so Josiah disguises himself. And he goes out into a battle that he should not have ever went out into. And the Bible says that one of the better leaders of the nation dies for the simple reason that I'm preaching tonight. I want to preach tonight a thought God gave me in the latter part of last year, when I was watching some people go through things in my church. I want to preach tonight on this thought: choose your battles wisely. Choose your battles wisely. Now, I realize tonight, maybe this church or maybe a church you're from is not like mine, but I want to be honest with you. My church has a lot of people that have a lot of problems and issues. Amen. And what do you mean by that? Well, I mean it this way. When you look sometimes on Sunday morning, you realize that people are bringing things from home with them. They're bringing relationship issues. They're bringing issues with others in their own family. And there's so many people that are fighting battles in their life every single day. Be great if we could go to church 6 days and work one. Go to church 6 days, still get paid the same, by the way. Somebody say amen. Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen. My name's Chris Azop, and I endorse that message. Amen. Hey, I want you to understand tonight that Josiah goes out to fight a battle, and that battle did not belong to him. And Josiah ends up dying. because he got involved in a battle that wasn't his. I am amazed how many people get involved in battles that are not theirs. I'm amazed how many people get involved in things that simply are not theirs. Listen, I have people come to me sometime and they're all tore up. And that's a North Carolina word for us, tore up. But they're all tore up about something going on that has nothing to do with them. I want to say this. I said it years ago, but we need to choose our battles wisely. Preacher, why preach a message like this? Well, if we're going to have revival, if we're going to have what God wants us to have, we have to look at our own selves. And there are things we have to give to God. And there are things we have to get out of our life. And there are things that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And I believe one of them is learning to fight the battles that we need, but choose our battles wisely. I want to give you some things tonight on how you can choose your battle wisely. Now, a lot of times I preach verse by verse. As a pastor and I were talking, I love expository preaching. I love going through things like that. And I do that just about every Sunday morning and night in my church. I enjoy that. But tonight, we're not going to have alliteration. We're not going to go like that. But tonight, I'm going to give you some thoughts that God gave me on how to choose your battles wisely. Now, this is real deep. Get ready. I mean, you're going to have to go find a book to get this first one. Number one, if it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. Boy, isn't that deep? If it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. Where would Josiah have been if Josiah had simply stayed out of what didn't concern him? Hey, can I tell you this? The church is made up of people. All of us come to church. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different areas of the country. Many people may meet each other in church and relationships develop. But there is one thing about it. Every single one of us somehow are born with this idea that we got to keep up with everything that's going on. But I want to say, if you want to choose your battles wisely, if it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Hey, the Bible tells us, hey, if it's not a part of what we are, stay out of that. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 26. The Bible says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ear. How ridiculous would it be for you to walk up in someone's yard that's got a bulldog or a Doberman Pinscher or whatever the dog it is and grab him by the ears and you've never seen him in your life. Now, I'll tell you what will happen. You're probably going to get bit. It's funny. I thought about this. Privilege, the pastor's got me a spot. When I get away sometime, I told him I love to just take my camper and I'll do some mountain biking during the day. But I enjoy being way out. I like the country and out in the woods or whatever. And I've got a beautiful spot over here by the lake that he's got for me. But I was telling my wife about this today. It's kind of funny. But the road I have to come into to get to where I'm at is a real country road. I mean, it's a lot of curves and it's just the kind of place I enjoy. Joy going by. But last year when I preached this meeting, I was coming down the road at night. And when I was coming down the road at night, this black German Shepherd, every service, every night, last year, five nights, he chased my truck. He chased my truck when I was coming from the campground. He chased my truck when I was leaving the campground and coming back there from the church. He chased me every single night. Well, I thought about riding a bicycle down that road, but I thought if he'll chase a truck, so I decided not to. But this year, 2017, I could not believe it. I thought he'd be dead. I thought somebody's going to run over that crazy dog. Somebody's going to hit him. I thought, my soul, there ain't no way in the world. And would you believe when I came in here on Tuesday, that same dog chased my truck. Not only did he chase my truck, he chased me back to church tonight. And then he lays there and he waits on another vehicle. You know what that dog's doing? He is choosing a battle he cannot win. Can I tell you this? That four-wheel drive Tundra that I'm driving weighs more than him, goes faster than him, and if he gets up underneath one of them tires, all he's going to be is traction. And then let me just say this. What even happens if he catches the truck? I was riding, I do mountain biking and road biking about 130, 40 miles a week. I try to. I know I don't look like it, but also like M&Ms. But anyway, I do that. And one day I was riding this guy on the road bike on a bicycle, and we kind of ride in what's called a B group. The A group, them guys, you know, they go so fast. I mean, they're like, my lungs just like, you know, they're gone. And I'm like, y'all have fun. But I ride in a B group with this pretty good group. And one day one guy said, we got to be careful up here. There's a dog up here on the right. Believe he'll bite you. And I said, I'm not worried about that dog as long as I can outrun you. Amen. Because he'll get him first. That dog may have a battle he can win. But that dog over here on that road, I mean, I'm amazed he's still alive. And I'm talking about, he don't chase you. He doesn't chase you, I mean, way over off the road. He gets plumb up on the road. And I mean, he's right beside my truck. And I thought, one day I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop. And I'm going to sit in the truck and I'm going to say, what are you going to do now? Right? He is fighting a battle he cannot win. He is fighting a battle. Even if he bites him tires and bite tires, bless his heart, he better have good teeth or a good dent. He's fighting the battle that he cannot win. Are you listening tonight? You know what he'd be better off doing? He ought to go chase a squirrel. Maybe some cat. Of course, there's some cats that probably whoop him. Hey, man. Praise God, I grew up on a chicken farm. My daddy raised fighting chickens. He wouldn't want to even chase them chickens. My daddy had chickens. When you walk by the cage, they'd look at you and say, come here. Mean chickens, buddy, I'm telling you. If it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. Can I put that in common words without trying to be mean? Mind your own business. Y'all looking at me strange. Every one of y'all must be meddling in something. I'm just kidding. I want to give you something here. Sister, what's your name? First name. Sarita. So who? Sarita? Yes, Sarita. Spell that for me. S-E-R. Oh, Sarita. Okay, Sarita, I got it. What's your name? First name, sister preacher? Cindy. Cindy? Sir. Let's just say Sunday morning. Miss Sarita walked in church and she's got on this beautiful pink brand new dress that she got at Cato's because they will at least put the rest of it on the dress. And then, Lord have mercy, Miss Cindy comes in and she's got that same dress on she bought at Cato's. All of a sudden, Miss Sarita, I'm getting it. All of a sudden, Miss Sarita, she looks at, I cannot believe she would get that same dress that I have. Several people of you said, well, I'll just tell you, Miss Sarita, you look very nice in that dress, and I don't know why she'd wear the same dress you got on. And Lord, if Miss Cindy don't have four or five ladies come to her and say, I cannot believe she would dare wear the same dress that you're wearing today. Preacher all of a sudden feels like the church is grieving. He's wondering, what in the world's going on? And you done got a little group over here done jumped on there with Miss Cindy. A little group over here done jumped on, I know y'all wouldn't do this, but jumped on Miss Sarita. And you know what? All of a sudden you got all these people who's none of their business getting involved in something that's none of their business. My wife one time had a member to ask when somebody came down to our office building and went back there to meet me. She said, oh, what's he meeting with a preacher for? And my wife looked at that person and said, none of your business. Amen. Nice way. I mean, she's not mean. Lord, if you know her, she's not. But she said, you know, if he wanted you to know, right? Y'all for quiet. you get quiet, I'll stay here a while. Remember what I told you last year? Smile at me, look like you're great, and I'll keep on digging. Amen? Hey, understand sometimes you have to be careful, because watch now. If it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. Now, number two, watch this tonight. And I'm not just talking about things in church. I'm talking about, I know people that don't even speak to family members. Sisters that won't speak. People that have battles that if those battles were to end, they would be a lot better off. Number two, watch this, and I believe this applies to Josiah. Decide if the battle is worth fighting. Decide if the battle is worth fighting. If it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. But decide if the battle is even worth fighting. You know what I've learned in the years? I'm 53 years old now. Next month I'll be 54. And you know what I've learned in my life through the many years, 34 plus years of pastoring that I've learned? Some things are just not worth the fight. Right? I've learned sometimes, preacher, that some things are just not worth it. Sometimes, listen, I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about, I believe, sometimes, and my daddy used to make this statement, we make a mountain out of a molehill. Anybody know that? Right. Do you realize sometimes battles just aren't worth fighting? If you don't believe that, drive on the interstate, Highway 77 in Charlotte. Rush hour. You'll want to fight a lot of battles. Amen. Understand, and I'm sure Knoxville, if I remember right, I came around a bypass, but I imagine through that it'd get pretty rough too. What I'm trying to say is this, you got to learn in your life, you got to let some things go. They're just not worth it. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to build a bridge and I'm going to get over this. It's just not worth it. Men, learn that little thing. It'll make your marriage last. You're going to lose anyway. Yeah. Right? My wife says something sometime, and I get ready to say something right when I think it. I go, it ain't going to matter. I ain't saying nothing. Amen. Right? You know, Miss Cindy will look at the preacher when he says something, she'll kind of give him that look, and she don't even have to say anything. Preacher's going the other way saying, that battle ain't worth fighting. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of people fighting battles in their life. And those battles, friend, are just not worth fighting. I'm amazed how many churches fight battles with each other. How many Christians, how many preachers fight? You know, I told Pastor Day, listen, I'm just not interested in all that stuff. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Life is depressing enough. All you got to do is turn on the news. I mean, it's depressing enough. I'm not interested in stuff. There are some battles that, listen, I'm not going to deal with. I'm not going to fight. Don't mean I'm a compromiser. Don't mean, but some things just, you know. And can I tell you this? You will learn in your life, that you can be a whole lot happier if number one, if it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. And number two, there are people in churches I preach in, they're mad and don't even know why. You ain't met anybody like that? I mean, they're mad, but they don't know why. Pastor back there, he said retired, but he back there shaking his head. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, they're mad, but they don't know why they're mad. I'm mad. Why? I don't know. God gives every pastor people like that to keep you humble. My right preacher, I mean, it doesn't. Don't tell me who it is. You said it was him, but I don't believe that. I'm just kidding. Understand that sometimes those battles, listen. You folks married, I've been married the same length I've been preaching, 34 years, our pastor. And understand this. There are times in your home. There are times in relationships with other people. There are times that you just have to learn, you know what, just leave it alone. Let it go. It's not really. You know, most of the people in the world think their name is Axis. You know why they think their name is Axis? They think the world revolves around them. You ever met anybody like that? Can I say to you tonight, I want you to understand something tonight. There are times you're fighting battles that if you let them go, you could go on and do something more productive with your life. Am I preaching right, preacher? Y'all say amen. How many of y'all been in church a while? I'm not talking about tonight. You ain't been here an hour yet, but I mean you've been a while. Can I tell you this? Every single one of you know what I'm talking about. Right? How many times you ever see somebody fight a battle wasn't theirs? If they just let it go. How many of you ever got drug into something that had nothing to do with you? And if you'd have stayed out of it, you'd have been a lot happier. Can I just say this? Don't let Baptists use your ears as a garbage dump. Right? And watch out for Billy Goat Christianity. I love that preacher, but I love a church, but I love that lady in church, but be careful. That's Billy Goat Christianity. What I'm saying about it is, hey, some battles aren't worth fighting. Amen. I'll be honest with you, Brother Tyler. You left up yonder, didn't you? You was up there. You was at a higher place, and you came down. You was in the upper room. Now you're back down here with us, peasants, amen. Let me say this to you. If I can just take care of me, and then have to, you know, I'm a pastor, so I have to deal with people bringing a lot of problems, just need help and counseling, going through things. I understand that. But can I tell you this? There's sometimes people come up and they tore up over something else of somebody, and I'll look at them and say, why does that bother you? Right? Why does that bother you? And they'll, well, this one, I said, but why does that, what does that change in your life? Whatever they do, why does that bother you? It's not you. Don't worry about it. Sing with that little fish. Don't worry. Be happy. Y'all don't seen them up here? Them little fish that sings, Billy Bab, whatever it is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Right? I mean, there's a whole lot of theology in that fish. Y'all don't worry. Be happy. Amen. Right? I mean, I believe there's some people rather climb a tree and be miserable than stay on the ground and enjoy their life. And I'm telling you, you can't have revival in your heart while you're fighting battles that you don't need to fight. Right? And can I say this to you? And I believe this with all my heart. I believe one of the greatest ways to have victory as a child of God is to let the Lord handle the battle. The battle is the Lord's, and not get involved and deal with things that you don't have to deal with. Now watch this. Only 3-point message again. No sub-point. Nothing else. This is it. Watch this. If it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. Number two, decide if the battle is worth fighting. Before I give you the last one, because some of y'all is waiting on that. Before I give you the last one, I want to ask you a question. I want everybody to be real serious with me. Here's a question I want to ask you. Even if you win the battle, is it worth it?
Right.
Even if you win the battle, is it worth it? Can I say this to you tonight? Sometimes you can win the battle.
Yeah.
But even after you win it, you know what? It wasn't worth that. It wasn't worth that. Can I tell you, I've seen people win battles. And after they won it, they realize, you know what? It wasn't even worth getting to be a part of. Look who's got hurt. Look who's damaged. Look what I got to deal with. I may run around with a victory flag, but was it really worth it? Was it really worth it? Number three, simple little thought. Number three, there are bigger battles to fight.
Yeah, right.
There are bigger battles to fight. Yes, Josiah is leading the people of God. Josiah has a record of being a king that has a heart for God. And he dies early. Because there were bigger battles to fight. And he got in a skirmish that took him out. Can I say this to you? You and I, listen, and I know you guys are church members. You don't hear about a lot of the politics of church. And thank God I'm at the place in my life where I don't have to do a lot of that either. But I am amazed at how many people are fighting these little battles while people are dying and going to hell.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Friend, listen, when God put me in the ministry, He gave me a love for sinners and a love for souls. And I don't have time to be battling some other church or some other preacher or something down the road. Hey, I don't have time for that. Why? Because there are bigger battles to fight.
Yes, sir.
People dying, going to hell every day. Homes destroyed. I had a preacher one time, he didn't want to offend me. We run buses in our ministry. This is my first church and run buses in ministry. And he called me, he said, "Preacher, I want to know if you're upset with him or not." And I really didn't know who he was, so I heard his name. I said, "I don't think so." He said, "Well," he said, "do you mind?" He said, "One of our church buses ran by your church." I said, "Lord, no, I don't mind." I said, "Matter of fact, what time does it run?" And he told me, I said, I got some people in my church. I'm going to get them to stand out front. Will you pick them up and take them with you too next week? You say, "You didn't say that." Yes, I did. I want you to understand tonight that there are bigger battles to fight. Here's what Jesus said. Don't miss this thought. Matthew 23:24. "You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." You know what Jesus said? "You're letting a little gnat choke you to death. And there's a whole lot of bigger things." Right? Can I tell you this about church? Listen, church has one pastor. He's sitting behind me. God leads that man. I never, and I say this tonight, I do not believe in one iota that God blesses ministries. I believe He blesses men. If you don't believe that, study your Bible. You know what God said when Moses was going to go off scene? "As I was with Moses," telling Joshua, "so shall I be with thee." I believe God puts His hand on men, puts them in the right place, and He blesses the ministry. You've seen churches where the wrong man was there, and you've seen it just go. But listen, if you go to church with people, if you're involved with people in their lives, don't fight somebody else's battle. If pastor has a member that's got out of line and he has to deal with it, don't be a sympathizer. Don't be one of those that you just heard through the grapevine the preacher was kind of rough on her or him, and so now you little riffed at the preacher. It's not even your battle. It's not even your battle. It doesn't matter. It's not your battle. Find something that does matter and do that. It matters that we try our best to see abortion stopped. It matters that we stand for the family, one man and one woman. It matters that we win people to God. Those are the battles that are worth fighting. Amen. Don't ask you a question tonight. This is the same thing I asked my church some time ago. Is anybody tonight dealing with something in your life tonight that you're just tired of dealing with? And you'd like to say tonight, I'm talking about your own heart. Nobody has to know it. But you'd say tonight, "Lord, I just want to give this to you. I want to get past it. I want to move on with my life." Preacher, we're all fundamental Bible-believing Baptists. We don't have any problems. Well, you're unique then.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about you're mean. I'm not talking about you're a person that nobody can get along. I'm talking about them little battles you have. Them little battles. My wife, every now and then, when I'm driving home to church, you know how preachers are, you know, we'll talk to our wives, you know, about this, that, or the other. And she's good about reminding me, you know what? She'll say, "Chris, you know what? It just ain't worth it. It's not going to matter anyway. And even if you win it, what's it going to prove?" I've learned to choose my battles wisely. Some things are just simply, it's dogs chasing four-wheel drive trucks. Now, on my way home tonight, he loves dart chasing. And he's a black dog. If I didn't see his white teeth, I'd just wonder, what was that? But when I go home tonight, he'll still be fighting battles that he can't win. You know what? I see a whole lot of Baptists. If they would just let things go. Right? Had a lady tell me one time, said, "My sister and I haven't spoken in years." I said, "Why in the world?" She said, "Well, something happened in our family." And I said, "Let me ask you a question. If she dies before you do, or one day this world's over and you leave, aren't you going to wish you'd made some of that right?
Right.
Aren't you going to wish you'd made over ridiculous things?" Y'all remember me sharing that story about that lady got all tore up at me because I shouted in that church that I threw my cane over in the choir? She, for a year of her life, she was bitter because that preacher threw his cane in the choir. when I was walking with Kane after wrecking a dirt bike. And she said, it bothered me for the whole year. I'm thinking, my Lord, is that the biggest battle you've got to fight? If I get to go back again, I'm going to just bring a cane, throw it again. No, I wouldn't do that. Let me ask you tonight, what is it in your life? I'm not talking about it in church, but I'm talking about in your life, that if you just gave it to God and quit trying to fight it, may not even be with a person, may be with yourself. My biggest problem is you got to look at in the morning in the mirror. Right? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I think, where'd that old gray guy come from? Hallelujah. When did that happen? I broke every mirror. I ain't looking in mirrors no more. Mirrors tell the truth. Right? Unless you get them little. I like them skinny mirrors. Right? They ain't got nothing to do with what I'm preaching. But you seen them skinny mirrors? Mirror you stand in front of makes you look skinny. Man, I like them mirrors. I put them all in my camper. Hallelujah, I'm getting dressed like, man, I must be trimming down. I see them lying mirrors. I see them NIV mirrors. You get your King James mirror, that thing can just show you what you need, buddy. Put a red flag on you getting way too big, amen? I wonder tonight, there might be a battle. But you say, Lord, I'd love for you to take it. I'd like to get rid of it. Maybe somebody at work got that annoying person, and you just kind of let it get to you. Several of you smiling. You might even be the annoying person yourself, and you don't even know it. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet tonight. Sister, I want you to come to the piano. All kidding aside, listen, this has been on my heart today. I'm going to tell you why. Can I share something with you, church preacher? My desire, listen, I love my church. I love being in my pulpit. God's been really good to me, the church I pastor. Really good. But I will say this to you tonight, and I want you to get a hold of this. I told a preacher a couple years ago, I was traveling about 30-some weeks, and we knocked that back to a couple weeks a month just because I like being at my church, and you can't grow a church if you're not there, and I like to be there. I love to see it grow. But I will say this to you. I go to a lot of churches that have no vision. I preach in churches that I know when I get there, the pastor has no vision. He has no, it's just going through the motions, just putting in the time. I sit down with your pastor at lunch today, and I've been doing this a long time, and I'm a few years older down the road than him. Matter of fact, 12, 13 years. And I sat across from him today, and the more I sat around him, I got excited. I was like, well, hallelujah. You know why? Because he's excited about what God's doing with you. Do you know what could ruin every bit of that? Is if you fight battles that are not worth it, that don't need to be. You might walk down the hall one day. I'm finishing. I was real short last night. Preacher got mad at me and said, you better preach longer than that. So I'm just trying to add something here. No, I'm kidding. Don't want him mad at me. He's got too many boys. They can get a hold of him. What about you walking down the hall and there's three people standing in the hall talking? All of a sudden, when you walk by them, you thought, well, they got kind of quiet when I walked by. They must have been talking about me. They don't like me. And then you go three weeks of your life kind of shunning or looking, and they were talking about a dog that chases a Toyota Tundra down on the side of the road. They weren't talking about you, but the devil in your mind got you to fight a battle. The preacher forgets to shake your hand. Right? Huh? Hey, listen. I have sometimes 450 people to come by me on a Sunday morning. And when they come by you on a Sunday, there'll be times I got somebody else on my mind. There'll be times I got something else. You know, I mean, I've got people in my church that sometimes they come by and I think, now, what's your name again? I mean, kids-wise, I know the adults, but kid-wise, because I don't see them. They're in different parts of ministry. It doesn't mean I don't care about somebody. Right? Don't go home thinking, Brother Danny, he don't like me. He walked right by me and didn't even speak to him. Maybe he ate something, didn't agree with him. And his mind ain't on you. His mind is somewhere else. Am I right? You never know, man. You never know. When I was a young preacher just starting out, Brother Danny, I used to see people in church wasn't smiling. I think, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? I didn't realize before they ever left home they got some news about something or something had happened. I was just fighting battles, didn't even have to fight. Good. Right? So deny it. I wonder if there's something you just say, Lord, you know what? Now, I mean, it's going to take a step tonight, because I know when you preach a message like this, somebody says, well, I don't want anybody to think I have anything that I deal with. Well, you know, you may not. If you don't, hallelujah. But y'all pray for me. Because every day of my life, I have to say, you know what? Leave that alone. You know what? Deal with that. I mean, that's ministry. We have to deal with it every day, right? You lead the choir, right? That's, I mean, that's where them angels that fell with the devil, they land in the choir loft. I'm kidding. Got a great choir. I'm kidding now. It's a battle not worth fighting. Amen. You going to play? Would you bow your head with me just a minute? I really felt the nudge of God this morning. Listen, I was praying. I love this preacher. I want to be a blessing to you, a help to you. I love you folks. I'm glad I got to know you here in Tennessee. But I just wonder tonight, if somebody's just doing something, I'm not nothing to do with church. It might be personal, family, job. It might be a battle mentally. It might be something you're just dealing with. And you say, preacher, you was preaching that night, I was thinking, you know, sometimes there's just things I just need to give to the Lord and let Him go. Maybe I could be happier and do a little better. I wouldn't have to let that bother me so much. Would you pray for me? I wonder if there'd be somebody like that tonight. Thank you, ma'am. And thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for being honest. I wonder if there's somebody else, just be honest tonight. Preacher, there's some battles I'd be better off just to give to the Lord and not try to fight them on my own. Would you pray for me? Anybody else? Just slip your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. So many hands. So many hands. And listen, this preacher isn't there looking down his nose at you, because I got my battles, trust me. I've got battles that I've been dealing with for years. I got things every day I have to die to myself to win. But I'll say this tonight, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Can I ask another question tonight? How many of you ever say, preacher? I know some folks right now in my own heart that are fighting battles in their life, and they're so unhappy, and they're on my heart right now, because I know if they just let them things go, they could be such a happier person, enjoy life more. Would you slip that hand? Do you know somebody like that? Well, I'm thinking several, and there's a lot of hands tonight. Everybody look at me. I'm not trying to get you to do anything tonight you don't want to do, but I'm going to tell you this. What I've learned about old-fashioned altars, if I come and I say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. You know, we're bad about putting something on the altar while we're praying, and then we pick it up, and we take it back to our seat. You know what the word casting means in the Word of God? Casting, it means to throw it out and to let it go. Throw it out and let it go. So while our brother's leading us tonight in a number, 375. If God spoke to your heart tonight about whatever it might be, and you'd just like to come and pray and say, Lord, help me be a better Christian and help me give those things to you that you could take care of much better than I ever could, while he's singing. Just before he sing another verse, while many are praying, don't you look at me just a moment. Preacher, I was in a meeting last year. I'd never been in the meeting. It was a morning service. Excuse me. I'd never just sat there in the morning. I preach at night in the meeting. Sometimes I didn't get to the morning. And I sat there in a meeting, and a fella got up to preach I'd never met. I didn't know him. I didn't know his name. He didn't know me. His first words when he got in the pulpit was simply these words, "I'm mad." And then he went for the next 10 minutes in that service calling a preacher's name that I know, that's a personal friend. He didn't know me. He didn't know I know. Running him in the ground for 10 minutes. That place got so quiet. You could feel that tension and you could feel the Holy Ghost being grieved. Got done with the service. The gentleman that preached, and people told me he's a good preacher, and all, maybe just had a bad day, but in our what we do for the Lord, we can't have days like that, you know. But anyway, in my mind, I thought, well, we're going to go down to fellowship, and I'm going to go over and tell him. You know what the Holy Ghost said? It's not your battle. What good are you going to do by going to speak to him? But I did something better than that. I went back to the motel I was staying in. And I prayed for that dear brother that God would help him see that's a battle he just didn't need to fight. I even knew the stuff he was saying wasn't true. And I could have verified it. But you know what? God told me real quickly, some battles aren't worth fighting. I hope it helped you tonight. It's been on my heart all day. The next time somebody comes to you with something in your life, church, you got a pastoral vision. You can see God do good things. But you can't fight battles that aren't worth it. There are bigger things to do. Amen. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll sing one more verse. Anybody else needs to come that didn't come? I want to say the devil's a subtle deceiver. Talked about just the little things that aren't important, bigger things to...
Little foxes pull the vine.
Yes, Satan's a subtle deceiver. He'll use anything he can to get us sidetracked, sidelined, dealing with something else instead of the main thing. That's why we got to keep short accounts with the Lord. Keep it confessed. We'll sing one more verse. If anybody else needs to come, maybe there's somebody here in the battle you're fighting with your salvation. You don't know that you're saved. You fight that every single day of your life. You don't have to fight it anymore. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. While we sing, this verse is for you.
I am waiting not to rid my soul of
God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Visitors, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Trust you got a blessing from that. I want to ask Brother Ted Mock, if you will, sir, dismiss us in prayer, please. Be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here in your place, and we'll do it again.
Big